presence. Lord, we need to know and realize that where two or three are gathered, you are in our midst. And God, tonight we thank you for never giving up on your children. Father, allowing us always the ability to know that we serve a great God, and yet in this world we'll make mistakes, we'll make some bad choices, but God, your faithfulness and long patience and suffering, and God, you always have open arms and bring us back, and God, we thank you for that. And Lord, as we study tonight, I pray again you just open our minds and our hearts and allow us to just understand through the lives of these kings that how we are to be able to learn from them and do differently as they have done. And Father, we just give you the praise and the glory in your Son's name. Amen. All righty, appreciate that. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 16. We're going to, we may finish the chapter tonight. We'll see. As we realize this is a Sunday evenings are different. It's not a sermon. It's a study. And trust that you are reading ahead and studying with us. But we've been going through the book of Kings slowly but surely, I should say. And in the process of that, learning a lot about who our God is and learning about how his plan wasn't for Israel to have a king. He never wanted them to have a king. They wanted a king like all the nations. And that being said, God allowed them to have it. And as with everything, when man touches it or gets involved with it, sooner or later he messes it up. And that's been that way since the Garden of Eden. And we keep doing that. I don't know why. We keep repeating that. But as we get into these kings, it's interesting. But before we start, I want to read one thank you note. I had it sitting here, and it was underneath my Bible, and I slipped out. So from Jim and Kathy, just says thank you for your prayers and cards, phone calls. It is hard, but with my Christian friends, it is a little easier getting through this time of loss. But Dad asked Christ into his heart 2 weeks before he passed away. So they wanted to thank everybody and continue to pray for Kathy and Jim. And as Kathy's dad went home here last week, so continue to pray for them. And I didn't want to miss that tonight. As we get into Kings, again, we've studied through some of them as we've looked at chapter 16. And we ended last week with verse 14. And we ended with that verse, and we sort of got your taste buds wet a little bit as we entered into verse 15. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri had reigned in Tyres 7 days, and the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. So we look at that and we realize and we understand, again, the kings of Judah are the southern two tribes. The divided kingdom has already taken place. So whenever you have the kings of Israel, they are the northern tribes. The king of Judah are the southern tribes. So in that distinction, we've been going back and forth between these kings. And we see here when it says that in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, this is the individual who was king of Israel, the north. So we saw that in the several of these kings, as even in verse 8, in the 26th year of Asa. And so it was saying while King Asa was king of Judah, these kings were, man, they were changing the throne room out every other year. And we also know that the longer the reign, the better the king was. So again, just as another reminder, when it says that these the rest of the acts were written in the books of the Chronicles, if it says in the books of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel, we do not have those books. First and Second Chronicles are only the things that the kings of the south or the kings of Judah have done. So that book has never been found, has never been read, to our knowledge anyway. And so to me, that tells a tall sign about God saying, you know, we really don't need to talk about the evil of our world. We really don't need to tell everybody about all the evil they did. It's pretty obvious. God's more important to him and to us is how did the good kings do it? How did they reign? How did they follow God? And so through the reign of King Asa in Judah, we find this Zimri had reigned in the capital, which is Tirzah, was the capital of the north. And it's interesting, as we go down and study tonight, we'll see how that has changed in several different locations, the capital of the north. And in fact, it says here that he only reigned 7 days. So you can tell he wasn't a good king. I mean, 7 day reign, and that was about it. But the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And I want to just share real quick. This comes into play about where we're at in the Middle East. And I know when October 7th, a year ago, when the travesty took place, a lot of things were talked about the Palestinians and many protests about the Palestinians, you know, from the river to the sea. They had no concept of what they were even saying. Basically, they want to annihilate Israel, period. But when you see in the scriptures this Philistine, you don't hear that today. You don't understand, or we don't realize where any of that is. But as we mentioned one other time, in 135 AD, there was a Roman Empire who hated Israel and who wanted to deface Israel. And so he took the bottom half, Judah and all, he took that nation and he redefined it and reclaimed it and gave it the lands of Palestine, or now the land of the Philistines. So that land was given to them. It was taken off of Israel by this emperor and given that name. And then later on, it was named as the British owned it. The British gave it up. They labeled it then Palestine. Palestine has never, ever had land promised to them from God. The land they now have, the land they claim is theirs, belongs to Israel. And it always has. It's part of the promised land that God gave them. And so when you see that they were, which belonged to the Philistines, this is the area that is now what we can know and understand as Palestine. So the Gaza Strip and all of that comes into play. So you get an idea of the where the land is that they're at and encamped at along this thing. And again, the Philistines were mentioned. But as they were long-stated enemies. Philistines were always, I mean, David went against them and beat Goliath of a Philistine. They were always against Israel from way back when. And interesting, you can probably trace back this whole war that we see today going on back to Ishmael and Isaac. Because those were the two men who have the father Abraham, that God said, as he protected Ishmael and put him out, that basically that Ishmael, that man thought they could do it again. We talked about God's sovereignty this morning. When man takes what belongs to God and the timing that belongs to God in his own hands, we have a son named Ishmael born. God promised Abraham a son, Isaac. He was going to give him a son, Isaac, but they got impatient. And so through man's way of doing it, of course, you know the story, they gave the handmaiden over to Abraham, and he had a child named Ishmael. And so kicked out of the camp, God found them, God protected them, God put a label on them of protection, and thus you have the two main, I guess going back genealogical-wise, two main sects of individuals or peoples, nationalities. And so it all started there. And it's amazing how all of that we see today started because man didn't listen and didn't wait on God. So that got me thinking, how many problems do we face in our lives? And let's bring it down home. How many problems do we have in our lives because we didn't wait on the hand of God? Because we made our own choice, or you know, how many times we prayed to God and we didn't hear the prayer quick enough, or we didn't hear the answer quick enough. And so we went ahead and made it our own decisions. And, you know, I tell people often when they come to me and they say, well, you know, we were really praying about this and we didn't hear anything. You know, God just didn't really, so we chose. And I'm like, well, time out. Time out right there. Because from this moment on, you realize it's not going to work for you as soon as we do that. Now, God does give us wisdom. We have discernment. We can make good choices. It's not everything. But boy, I'll tell you what, when we make life-changing choices without the approval and the timing of God, we usually make the wrong one. And that's just life. That's how we do it. We've studied these kings, and they've done it many, many times. So we have this set up now. He reigned for a very short time. And interesting, as saying that, notice in verse 16, now the people who were in camp heard it and said, Zimri has conspired and also killed the king. So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in camp. Talk about taking things in your own hands. They conspired. They're going to kill the king. They did kill the king. They killed the king. And now, so we need somebody to lead us. So how about you? You look like a good candidate. You look like you could be all right. So again, they get Omri, and he now is over Israel. In verse 17, then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tiras. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died. Now, this may be a play on words, but he literally fired himself. Just want to make sure you're all awake here, okay? Yes, he committed suicide. And several times in the Bible, we saw Samson do the same thing, right? He didn't commit suicide, but he prayed to God one more time, give me the strength. And he pulled the pillars down, and he himself was killed along everyone else in the house. So when this king, Zimri, saw the city was taken, he went in to the house, burnt the house with him inside, and basically it all went down on him, and he died. So again, 7 days, didn't have a very long reign, did not have a very good outcome, and here's why. Look at the rest of that verse. And it says, because of the sins which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, and walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he had committed to make Israel sin. You see, again, going through and studying, we know what Jeroboam did, right? He was the first king of the northern tribes. And so out of fear of Israel's going south and not coming back home, when they were going to Jerusalem to worship, King Jeroboam said, well, let's just make it a little easier. See, he wanted to still worship the right God, just the wrong way. Welcome to America. But what he did, at least he was talking about the right God. We're now going to roll into a couple kings that they don't even worship the right God. And that's why you see this procession of did worse than any other king. And as they stated there, which he had committed and doing in the sight of the Lord and walking in the way of Jeroboam, basically setting up the idols, having Israel commit sin by worshiping wrong or worshiping the wrong God. And one thing in America, we've lost the reverence for God. We've lost that, man, I'm going into his house. This is just a building. This is brick and mortars. This building means nothing. But what it stands for, when we come together, we put purpose to it. And when we put purpose to it is to come together and worship our God, that's pretty important. Because I'm kind of under the understanding that when two or three are gathered together, he is here. So he's here in our presence. And so do we realize that when we come in? Do we realize that when we walk in? You know, do we pay him the reverence that is due to him? Moses had to take his sandals off because he was on holy ground. Please do not leave your shoes at the door. That's not a good thing. But But what I mean is in our heart and our mind. So this leads me to ask a question. What do you do to prepare yourself to come in through those doors to gather in the presence of God? Or do you do anything to prepare yourself to come in? And I think it's very important. You know, you hear me pray all the time, God, clear a mind, clear a heart. You know, I pray that prayer for me as much as I pray for everybody. Because we need to realize as we're coming into the presence of God, and for me, being very transparent, having the responsibility to open the truth of the Word of God is just something I don't take lightly. And so I've got to prepare myself. And that's not just in the studies. That's in the moment I stand, the moment I come, the moment I begin to teach the truth. I have to be prepared mentally and spiritually for that. And I know that, and I've shared it before, there was a time in my life that I did it because I had to. And I fooled a lot of people for a while, going through my rough time of years. But in the process of that, it also tells me that God uses us regardless. And that's the important part. God never gives up on his kids. He never stops working, never stops molding, never stops using us. And so when we come to these kings and we see that they continued it the wrong way, they continued to bring Israel to sin. And that sin is worshiping the wrong God or worshiping him incorrectly. And that scares me to have that responsibility on my shoulders as a pastor of a church, to know that God's going to hold me in high responsibility of how we come together in worship. And I'm not sure if it's just my, you know, as the under-shepherd, I keep telling you, you guys know my new prayer, right? Some of you have heard it. God, do your kids straighten them out or I'm going to send them home. I say that jokingly. You're all looking at me like, serious? No, I'm not serious. Anyway, when we look at what God is doing here and we see through these kings, again, continually, in verse 20, now the rest of the acts of Zimri and the treason he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And the answer is, yes, they're written, but we've never read them. Because that's the book that we do not have in our Bible. That side we do not have or we do not understand. So his reign was very short. So the people, we saw in verse 18, that in verse 17, that all of Israel made this captain of the army or commander of the army, now their king, in Omri. We now go into verse 21, and Omri now reigns in Israel. It says, then the people of Israel were divided. Now, interesting, they were divided in two parts. The nation is already divided in two parts. Now we're going into the northern kingdom, and the northern kingdom now is divided in two parts. So they keep dividing, they keep splitting. And it's interesting because half of the people, in verse 21, half the people followed Tibni, the son of Ganath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. They came to a split. Why? And I believe you go up into the first section we read. One, it was a very rash decision of a few people to make him king. He was the commander of the army. They made him king. And so they went down, and half of them wanted one person. The other half wanted the Omri. Verse 22, but the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibni, the son of Ganath. So Tibni died and Omri reigned. This is when I say, I want more. I want more of the scripture. Does this mean because he went against Omri, they killed him? It just says he died. Doesn't say how. Doesn't say why. But it just says he died. So you have a nation that is split in two because of their loyalty and worship to God. You now have one of those nations split in two because man consistently tries to do it man's way. Man chose them both. one prevailed, and the one that prevailed, again, is Omri, as he reigned, in verse 23, in the 31st year of King Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel, and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah, and he bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver. Then he built on it on the hill and called the name of the city which he built Samaria. Interesting, as you've seen this, it started in Shechem, it went to Tizir, and now it's down in Samaria. So that the capital of the northern tribes continues to move their capital, or the palace where the king is. And so through this, it's interesting again, and he bought it for 2 talents of silver. Today's price is roughly somewhere between $54,000 to $58,000. Sounds like a pretty small fee compared to what he got. And he bought that land, and he named the city on it, which he built again, Samaria. It's now the center of the northern Israel. And so after the name of the Samaria, owner of the hill, Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and here's the progression, and did worse than all who were before him. How is that possible? Have you ever asked yourself, every day I wake up, I'm like, how can it get worse? Why is it getting worse? And it seems like every day you wake up, you hear this on the news, you hear what's going on in the Middle East, you hear what's going on in Ukraine, you hear what's going on in America, and it's like it's getting worse and worse and worse. And just when you thought you had one bad that you got rid of, the next one in is even worse. So again, what you'll see is a common flow through these kings is that they did evil in the sight of the Lord for one main reason, and that is the worshiping of him. It's not all of the evil they did, because I'm sure there's a whole lot more that we don't know. But the one thing that just really angers God with a righteous anger is when you take his Father's name. Christ did it in the New Testament when he took out the money changers of the temple. You've turned my Father's house into a den of thieves. So anytime you mess with the worshiping of God, you do get God's attention. But I'm not sure you want that side of his attention. So what did he do that gave him the title in verse 25, evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all who were before him? Verse 26, for he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, which we know what Jeroboam did, set up the idols so they didn't have to walk to Jerusalem. You can just worship the golden calf here and just pretend it's God. And so that's what Jeroboam did. He started this process, and every king after him only made it worse. So Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin, by which he had made Israel sin, worshiping the idol, not going to Jerusalem, as we read as Solomon built the temple, God put his name on the temple and said, this is where my people will worship me, in this temple. He put his name on the temple. So when Jeroboam wouldn't let them travel down and they stayed up north, that started the process of the sinning against God. So that was his sin, but he made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. The one thing that Omri did different than what Jeroboam and what Zimri did was that he commanded the people to worship. See, Jeroboam said, listen, this is a better idea. Go ahead and do it if you want. Same with all the other kings we've seen, Eli and Zimri, all these kings coming on. Omri is the only one, and it says in verse 26, he made Israel sin. It wasn't Israel, I'm going to give you an option, you choose which one you want to do. He made them do it. That made him, or gave him, the title that he did worse than all were who before him. Because he didn't even give Israel an option. He made them worship the idol. He made them sin against God. So So again, God was not happy with that because it very clearly stated that they provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger with all of their idols. So as he did this evil, we understand in verse 27, now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and in the might, and the might that he showed are not written in the book of the Chronicles of the King of Israel. That's the first time we've read that about a king, isn't it? Every other king says they are written either in the Chronicles of Israel or the Chronicles of Judah, which is in our Bible, 1 and 2 Chronicles. This is the first time we find a king that was not written in the book. Why? Listen, when you come to that kind of text, you need to stop and say, why? Why did not God allow his stuff to be in the bad guy's books? Because he was the worst. He was the worst of all of them, and he did not. It was not written in the books of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, reigned in his place. Listen, from this moment on, it's only going to get worse, okay? It's not going to get any better. But interesting enough, when you go if you do a study on Omri, actually, in the historical writings of the Old Testament, they've seen his name in different places in some of the archaeological diggings. He is noted to be a very capable leader. He was a tremendous commander of the army. He was a leader beyond all leaders. He stabilized Israel, actually, because remember, they were divided. They were 10 tribes divided because some of them wanted this king, some wanted this king. He stabilized. I don't know if he shot the other guy to stabilize Israel. I don't know. But anyway, the guy died, stabilized Israel. And by his stabilizing Israel, it was a dynasty that lasted hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, when I say dynasty, he always had someone in his lineage after him following through leadership. So he was a very good king. He was a very good leader. He was very good at what the job consisted of. But spiritually, he was completely messed up. That's the downfall of America. You can have many good leaders. And listen, that's the downfall of some churches too. You can have good leaders and you can have good orators and you can have people who have a lot of knowledge. But if they don't have the spiritual heart that's following God, they're only going to take you so far before it all falls apart. They're only going to allow, that ministry is only going to be so deep in truth for a short period of time. And the ministry is going to fall apart. And that's God's, John chapter 15. He's the one who controls. We are to bear fruit. We are to bear more fruit. We are to bear much fruit. And he's the one who said, listen, I put you on earth. I'm keeping you on earth because I need a billboard. I need a testimony. I need the world to know who I am. That's why Israel was given that promised land. Because in that promised land, it controlled the major roads that intersected the world. God gave them that land so that they would influence the world. And instead, they lost it because they didn't listen to God. And they went into the land and they didn't kick out all the ites. They left some of them in there. Then they started marrying in them. And then they started, kings started bringing their daughters of other kings in. And we've read and studied the procession of where we are today. And just because he's a good leader, just because he's a good orator, just because he may have 500 different letters behind his name, it doesn't make him a good man of God. And folks, we need to be weary of that. I just watched some stuff today on YouTube there, watching a little bit of some of the... I try to stay away from some of the news. It just gets me. And I can't watch it before I preach. So I watch it early, then I go listen to some music or do something else as I got to prepare myself. But, you know, all of a sudden now, in the political arena, they're bringing God. They're bringing God into it now. And God is doing this, and all these high visual people are now saying God is just so important and God is allowing all this. And I'm like, don't you dare do that to my God. Don't you dare politicize my God. But that's what men do. And that's exactly what these kings did. That's why God was so upset about what they did. And this one, Omri, didn't even get written in the book of Chronicles at all because of how bad of a king he was and how much he made Israel sin against God. And I think it's very important to realize that because, you know, again, as we studied through, David was a man after God's own heart. And as we studied through that text, and it said, except Uriah. What David did with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah was never wiped off the pages for us to remember. But he was still a man after God's own heart. Why? Because Psalms 51 was written, and because he repented, and because he truly repented. We saw what repentance meant this morning. Repentance means that you're going to leave what you once thought secure, you, into putting an object, God, now in its place. And David said, create within me a clean heart. Don't take the Spirit of God. Don't take your Spirit from me. And so God honored the heart of the man, but he still paid the consequences for it. And that's something that we cannot get away from. Let's keep going. Verse 29. Ahab reigns in Israel. Ahab, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Sounds like a long, decent reign. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Is this like a genetic thing? I mean, every one of these kings, they don't learn. They keep doing worse and worse and worse and worse. But that's exactly how we got to be where we are in America today, because America is doing worse and worse and worse, so we can see the progression. Interesting, and it says, and it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sodomites, and he went and he served Baal and worshipped him. Now, I heard one gentleman, as I studied through this, describe it this way. So don't shoot the messenger. Ahab and Jezebel was a marriage made in hell. Because that's exactly what they did. In fact, it's interesting. When Ahab married Jezebel, he violated every principle that God gave the nation of Israel. When he married her, he violated everything and every principle. Jezebel was a pagan, and she brought all of her wicked religion with her into Israel. She was pagan. She wasn't even of the tribe. She wasn't anywhere near, completely. And there's a history, there's a lesson of the Jezebels of Scripture. Whatever you do, don't let any of your kids, because I'm looking at our age groups here, and none of us are signing up for having any more kids, right? All right, so let's go to the next level, grandkids. Don't let any of your kids name their kids Jezebel, okay? Because it's not a good name. And in this name is interesting. He took on this wife Jezebel, but what did she bring in? She persuaded him to build temples and altar to Baal in Samaria. Samaria was now the capital of Israel of the northern tribes. So she persuaded him to build the temple and the altar to Baal. She supported 850 prophets in her immoral cult. And she systematically went through Israel trying to kill all the prophets of Yahweh that she could find. She was bad news. She was a Jezebel. She was somebody who never should have been in that realm or in that seating beside the king. King Judah referred to her ways as harlotries and witchcraft in 2 Kings 9:22. So she had a name, she had a label, and Ahab did not have the spiritual courage or conviction to stop Jezebel. So what did he do? He followed his wife. And there's a whole series of messages when the authority that God has designed and created flip-flops in a house. When the man is no longer the leader of the home, a lot of problems will follow. And it's not that the women are, listen, I don't want to get into this equality thing, and it's not my deal. My deal is that God has a system that he created, and he did very well in creating it. Men are to lead, and women are to be their helpmates. And shame to you men for not listening to the helpmate God gave you. Don't think it's a dictatorship, because that ain't right either. Listen to the helpmate God gave you. He gave you that person. Listen, behind every good man there's a better woman, and I'm never convinced otherwise. God gave us helpmates to be able to help us make the right choices, help us through the tough times. In this situation, Jezebel became the leader of the kingdom of Israel because Ahab did not have enough courage, did not have enough spiritual knowledge, however you wanted to put that in there, to be able to overcome his wife. So he followed her. And all that did was lead continually down a wrong path. Because as we go down in verse 32, then he set up altars for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his day, Hill of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abram and the firstborn, and with the youngest son, Segub, he set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, as we close this chapter, we realize we'll get into Elijah proclaiming as the prophet now comes onto the scene and what's going on here. But you can see the progression of the kings getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Why? Because they're going further and further and further away from God. And listen, in our lives, the moment we begin to say, I don't need to spend time with God today, I'm okay today. Or we don't need to let God make the choices in our life because this is an easy choice, I can make this one. We begin the same process, the same progression in our life. And we will find ourselves drained spiritually, falling further away from God. And again, that's what Hebrews 12 is all about. Because as we begin to allow bitterness into our heart and life, bitterness was only the one issue. We let anything into our life, we begin to fall from the graces, not salvation. We fall from the grace of fellowship with our God. And as we fall from the fellowship of our God, what happens is we end up like this. Because we continue, if we don't stop, we don't repent, we don't turn, as we saw this morning, we will see there'll be a time in our life when we have friends that really want us to do something that isn't right, and we can't stand up to them. And I know every one of us sometime in our life have been confronted with that. And I'm not going to say how you turned out or how you dealt with it. I know I didn't do it well. I didn't do it right. And I fell to the peer pressure. I fell to all that pressure in my younger years. I fell to all that stuff, and I did many things that I wish I never had done. Because I wasn't close enough, and I wasn't strong enough in my walk with God to be able to beat out the temptation. Ahab is the same way. Why? Because he followed his father, Omri, because he followed the next guy. He followed all the way back to Jeroboam. They all followed into their father Jeroboam's traditional dynasty, and we realized that every one of them did wrong in the sight of the God, even more so than the last one, even more so than the last one. Because the further away you get from God, the less chance you have of doing it God's way. And so for the principle of the study tonight and what we can pull out of this tonight is, listen, there will be Jezebels in your life. There will be people who are determined to knock you off your path that God has laid for you. That's what Satan wants to do. Remember 1 Peter 5, he's roaming around. seeking, as a lion seeking who he may devour. He's not going after the bad guys. He's not going after the evil guys. He's already got them. He's going after those who are doing the best they can with all of their heart to serve God. Those are the ones he's after. Those are the ones he wants to trip up. So the Jezebels will be there in your life. How do we defeat the Jezebels in our life? By staying as close to God every day. Every day. Even on the good days, we need to be as close to God, because that's what's going to allow us to hang on to something in the bad days. So that's my encouragement, my challenge. We see these kings continually going down this path and going the wrong way and ending up in this place where the marriage takes place and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So then we have Elijah coming on scene, chapter 17, the Tishbite, and he's going to say a few things to King Ahab. We'll see what happens with that. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the study tonight. As we study through the scriptures, we know that the New Testament states that the things are written in the Old Testament for our understanding. And God, it's very clear as we continue to move forward through this, we can see how man has taken charge of their life, and we've also seen what happens. And God, my heart and my challenge to me and to everyone is that we realize the moment we begin to take back over the control, the moment we begin to take what rightfully belongs to you, we're right on that edge of that slippery slope of ending up where King Ahab ended up. Father, I pray that as we begin to see the Jezebels and have the temptations and things in our lives, that God, that is the moment that we cry out to you all the more. We hang on to you. Continue to have you every day that we come into your presence, and we ask for that grace and that strength and that power to live, be the faithful life. And Father, we just thank you for all that you do in us and through us. And Father, we just begin even now praying for the opportunities all this week that we may represent you well. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.